at jdpower.com. Important terms and conditions apply. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
You fool.
Good morning, 903 in the KSL 24-hour newsroom. I'm Dan Jessup, KSL's top local story. The pipeline that leaked and sent hundreds of barrels of fuel into Willard Bay is set to reopen soon. Federal officials have given their permission after Chevron successfully completed a high-pressure water test to see if it could handle high amounts of fuel. Chevron manager of government affairs, Greg Hardy.
The pipeline had an issue. We went back in and repaired that and successfully completed further pressurized water testing.
Officials with the Department of Environmental Quality say the cleanup of Willard Bay is going smoothly. The number of dismissed cases tied to West Valley's now disbanded narcotics unit continues to grow. Prosecutors say 26 additional cases have been dropped, bringing the total number of cases dismissed up to 124. Salt Lake County District Attorney Sim Gill says prosecutors are still seeking justice, though.
I may have somebody with a burglary and a simple possession. If I excise out the simple possession, I can still prosecute the burglary.
70 more cases have been found where Gill says officers have mishandled evidence. Many may be salvageable for a degree of prosecution. A Florida man is facing child abuse endangerment charges for taking his 4-year-old son out of Primary Children's Medical Center when he was still in need of treatment. University of Utah Police Lieutenant Mike McFarland says Marquiel Sandy was allowed to take his son out for a walk. When he didn't come back, police were called.
At the time, it was received by some officers at the airport. They happened to be, fortunately, standing very near the suspect and the child.
The child is now starting his renal failure treatment all over again. Coming up on KSL News Radio, what a brilliant blue sky this morning. How about later? We'll check your forecast. KSL News Time, 9:05.
In the wasteland of outer space, an epic battle rages.
3 degrees left! Arm lasers!
The future of mankind rests with two brave souls.
Sir, we have no reinforcements.
Then we will defeat them with valor.
With the universe in their hands.
Commander, my weapon has failed!
Things were at their darkest.
Dad, my flashlight's broken.
I guess we'd better turn on the lights and get it fixed, right, buddy?
Then can we keep playing?
Children who spend time with their parents are less likely to drop out of school, abuse drugs or alcohol, and are more likely to finish college. So imagine what a little time can do for your family.
Off with the lights. Let the battle resume.
A message from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Is your company growing? Are you hiring but just can't find the right candidates? Hiring today isn't easy. Most job applicants now look online for job opportunities, and it's not always clear where on the internet you should post your job. And then, once applicants are rolling in, managing emails and spreadsheets can quickly become a chore. Let us help. Hiring Thing is online software that helps companies post jobs, manage applicants, and hire great employees. If you need to hire someone soon, we might be a perfect fit for your company. When you use Hiring Thing, we'll automatically advertise your open positions multiple places online and provide great tools, allowing you to accept online resumes, rate and review applicants, and share information with other managers. It's easy to use and free to get started. Visit us online at hiringthing.com to start a 30-day free trial. That's hiringthing.com.
The best of everything online and in life. The Browsers with Jay McFarland and Amy Iverson. 1 to 3 on KSL News Radio.
Traffic and weather together brought to you by the Larry H. Miller Dealerships. Don't see any problems with the traffic. If you see anything, let me know in the newsroom. 801-575-6397. Beautiful day so far along the Wasatch Front. Maybe an afternoon thunderstorm. 72 the high, 49 the low. Tomorrow, 75. We'll hold on to a chance of showers. A little bit cooler Monday and still just a bit unsettled. Use Oakdale Egg Farms Organic Compost, the official compost of Thanksgiving Point, to improve your soil. Available at IFA Country Stores, J&J, and J&L Garden Centers. For a complete list, visit oakdale.com. 54 degrees now at 9:08. I'm Dan Jessup, KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM, Utah's news traffic and weather station.
It's a sunny day.
Sunny day now.
My pocket's empty, my cupboard's bare. But call me illogical, I just don't care.
Hey, hey, hey.
It's just a sunny day.
Hey, hey, hey. It's a sunny day.
It's just a sunny day.
The KSL Greenhouse. Information and great talk about your home, garden, and your lawn. If you love perennials, can't get enough help on landscape design, or just want to keep your lawn and vegetable garden pest-free, grab a pen. It's the KSL Greenhouse on KSL News Radio.
Welcome into hour number two of the KSL Greenhouse for this great-looking Saturday morning. As Dan just mentioned, we've got a daytime high today in the low 70s and right on through the weekend, as a matter of fact, and then upper 60s to lower 70s through the next few days and into the rest of your week. As we go to the phones, we're going to be talking with Mark. They've got a unique competition going on, and this is kind of hard to describe, so I'm going to let Mark and Ton do the describing on this one.
Mark, are you there?
I am.
Very good. This on the phone is Mark Malmstrom. He owns Total Tree Care in the Logan area, and I've known him since I was starting as an extension agent up in Logan, and he is probably the most knowledgeable arborist that I know. And when I was up in Logan, if folks needed an arborist, I had a list of four or five people that I would give out, and Mark was always on that list because I know that when he went out to do a job, that he wasn't going to mess up the trees. But Mark's also involved with the Utah Community Forest Council, and there's a tree climbing competition coming up for the arborists, and it's open to the public, and I wanted to talk a little bit more about that. So, Mark, what is the tree climbing competition?
Well, it consists of five events, the Belayed Speed Climb, Aerial Rescue, Work Climb, Throw Ball, and Foot Lock. And they're there to test the skills of the climber, similar to what you do on the job. Hopefully you won't do an aerial rescue very often, but it tests their skills and ability, and it's a point system. And then the top four competitors will advance to the finals, which is called the Masters Challenge.
Okay, and why would these events be of interest to the general public to come see?
Well, they're fun to watch, and people ask us all the time, how do you get up and work in these big trees? How is it possible to get up there without a bucket truck or heavy equipment? And it's a great time to show to the general public how we do it without harming the trees. And people often confuse it with what they see on TV with the logging sports. And this is very different. This is we go up, we use ropes, we don't use spikes, and it's just fun to watch. These guys are highly skilled, and it's just great to see them show off a little bit.
It is. I've actually witnessed some of this up in Logan when you were helping out at the gardener's market, and I watched you and some of your employees throwing we watch on TV about throwing whatever it is over to climb the castle wall and climb the rope up, but you can actually do that. And I was amazed that you guys were throwing these weights up into the tree and having the rope wrap around and then just shimmying 50, 60 feet up into the trees. And so it was actually very fun to watch.
Oh, yeah, it's great, and watching it helps people understand how it's done. You can explain it, but seeing it in person is the best way.
It is, and what days is the competition going on?
The competition is May 17th and 18th. It's at Pioneer Park, in Salt Lake.
That's 400 West and 400 South.
Uh-huh. And the winner will advance to the international competition, which will be in August in Toronto. So there'll be climbers, the best climbers in the world will be there, and everyone will have a chance to compete together.
That's great. And so is this something the public can just show up to?
Absolutely. The competition will start about noon on the 17th and go through the day until early evening, and then it'll start about 9 o'clock on the 18th and just continue till it's finished. But, yeah, people can show up anytime. There's no admission. It's just a fun event to go to.
Yeah, it's great. And initially it doesn't sound like, well, what do I want to go watch this for? But when I've watched it, especially if you have small kids, it's something that they will remember for a long time, just for the fact that these guys are up in the trees and they're doing so much stuff. And so what necessarily may not sound like an exciting event, actually, especially for those smaller kids or for anybody interested in such things, can be very fantastic.
Oh, it's great. And there's also a kids tree climb. They do it every year. And so those kids who want a chance to actually go up in the tree and be on the ropes, they'll have a chance to do that. There's no charge. And so, yes, it is great for the kids.
And that is. And I've watched you do that at the Logan Gardeners Market, and the kids have a ball when they get hooked up into the harness and get to go up into the trees.
They love
it. It's almost like rock climbing, except maybe funner for them.
So.
Yeah. Hey, while I've got you on the phone, and I would be kind of silly of me not to ask you if you see anything out there this year among the trees that, you know, have you seen any problems or anything that should be mentioned?
We're not seeing anything out of the ordinary in Cache Valley. Fire blight, you know, it's always wait and see. We haven't really seen it yet. Some years have been really bad. But I don't have anything of note. I think we're just a little bit too early for a lot of these problems to show up, but I suspect within the next month or so we'll start to see things, and hopefully it won't be too bad.
That's great. And then one last thing for you. A lot of times folks will call in and want to hire a good tree care service. Why hire a service with a certified arborist?
Well, the certified arborist is someone who's trained and educated. We have a code of ethics that we should follow, and it just guarantees a certain level of competency and knowledge versus someone who has had no formal training or education. We're also required to have continuing education to maintain it, and so we're regularly trained to keep up with the latest information. So it's a huge advantage, and if you care for your trees, it's a great idea to hire a certified arborist.
That's great. I know that when folks will call me with questions and things, and if there's not something I can easily diagnose, if they're up in the canopy, the first thing I tell them is to get a certified arborist with the certification to diagnose tree diseases and tree safety, because there's that assurance there that you can't get anywhere else.
Absolutely, and there is value, certainly, in evaluating a tree from the ground, especially the root system, but having someone who has the ability to get up there and find problems and treat them is a huge advantage.
It can be. And so, you know, these, especially if you have a 50-year-old tree that's 50, 60 feet high and you want to try to save it, it is a great investment. So we would love to have you on again, Mark, if you are willing.
Yes, I'd be glad to.
Thank you very much. That's Mark Malmstrom from Total Tree Care up in the Logan area. Thank you again.
Right. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thanks, Mark. As we continue on with your KSL Greenhouse, we'll be back in a couple of minutes. We've got to take our first break of the hour. Looks like we've got Laurel, Tracy, Leland, Kent, Donald, Daryl, Joe, and Ross all waiting on the lines. And we'll take your phone calls as well, 575-8255 on KSL News Radio. Back with more of the KSL Greenhouse coming up.
Coming to the Pioneer Theater Company, Utah's premier professional theater, the epic musical masterpiece, Les Miserables. Pioneer Theatre Company's production, the first since its record-breaking sold-out premiere in 2007, has already extended 2 extra weeks. Now running from May 3rd to June 1st. Hurry while good seats are still available. Call 801-581-6961 or visit pioneertheater.org. Les Mis is sponsored by Zions Bank and Salt Lake County Zoo Arts and Parks Program. And don't forget to reserve next season's ticket package, including the musical mystery Something's Afoot, the holiday movie turned musical Elf, and the classic song and dance spectacular Sweet Charity. Season ticket holders get the best seats at the best prices. Call 801-581-6961 or visit pioneertheater.org.
In the vast ocean, there was room for only one victor.
Polar Frog Side Men! Brace yourself!
Many would never come back.
For the Queen!
But those who did would be legend. This epic battle for destiny will have to wait until after it rains?
But, Dad, we're winning!
I don't want to get wet!
Dad, we're at sea.
Well, maybe we can storm the kitchen.
Children who spend time with their parents are less likely to drop out of school, abuse drugs or alcohol, and are more likely to finish college. So imagine what a little time can do for your family.
To the deli!
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
One day, I'll teach chemistry to kids.
I'm going to be an architect.
My dream is to be a chef.
This is a world of possibilities. A world in which people who put their minds to something can really make a difference.
My goal is to help the environment.
Someday, I'll find a cure for cancer.
At the U.S. Department of Education's Office of Federal Student Aid, we believe that aspiring minds can achieve anything. So we dedicate ourselves to making sure everyone has an opportunity to go to college. Each year, we provide more than $150 billion in grants, loans, and work-study funds, making higher education possible for anyone at any stage of life.
I can go back to college.
I can change careers.
I can make a difference.
Federal Student Aid, proud sponsor of the American Mind. Learn more about money for college at studentaid.gov.
A master gardener, or at least make your neighbors jealous, with KSL News Radio.
Welcome back to the KSL Greenhouse, and we go right to the phones this time. We've got Laurel in Springville, and let's push that button and say good morning, Laurel. Welcome into the KSL Greenhouse. Are you there, Laurel? Okay, let's put Laurel on hold and have a Kat check on her. And we'll go to Joe calling from Salt Lake City. Joe, go ahead with your question. Welcome in.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
I have a pyracantha hedge that's about, I keep it about 8 feet tall. It grows several feet during the summer above that. But the snows this fall, this winter, pushed it over so that it's now leaning over somewhat into the yard, and I wondered if I should trim it up, straight up the way it is now, and cut all of that stuff that's bent off over, or whether it will push back up and grow up straight so that I can trim it off the way I've done in the past.
My first question should be, do you have a suit of armor? If you've ever trimmed pyracantha, which you obviously have, you know, my brother-in-law tells a story. He used to work for the U of U grounds department, and a lot of the new employees up there, I guess I haven't been up there, but there's apparently this pyracantha hedge that's like a half mile long, and to test the new grounds employees, the first assignment they would get is trimming that pyracantha hedge, and if you could make it through that, they knew you were going to stick, and they would give you a better job. But so
I always wear long sleeve shirts.
Very good, and gloves and things of that nature.
Yeah.
So on the pyracantha, if you can do it, I would recommend what's called renewal pruning, to where you're actually going to take some of the biggest branches out of the pyracantha toward the base of the shrubs.
Okay.
You may or may not be able to get in there, but if you could do that, because that would make the hedge a little less top-heavy, and so it would be less likely to fall over in the snow. But the pyracantha is fairly aggressive and recovers quickly, and so as long as you don't prune too far in, if you need to straighten that up a little bit, you can.
Okay. All right, I'll give that a try. Thanks for your help.
You're welcome. Good luck.
All right, thanks, Joe. Let's check in now with Daryl, calling from Orem. Daryl, go ahead with your question.
Hi, I have a Kwanson cherry tree. I heard you talking about them early. Last year, only the top part of the tree had blossoms. This year, it was covered with buds, and I've always been for 2 to 3 weeks. Those buds sat there and didn't pop open. And now I noticed yesterday that the leaves have come out and hidden a lot of those buds and the flowers, and I don't get the beautiful pink flower and tree. What have I done wrong?
My computer system gone down. What city are you coming from, or calling from?
Pardon me?
What city are you calling from?
Orem.
I wanted to find that out because I want to find out if there's possibly some frost that got the Kwanson cherry blossoms. And that is a possibility that, you know, you mentioned that the tree last year had fairly nice blooms on it, and this year it didn't.
But only on the top.
Only on the top.
The tree. Nothing on the rest of the tree. And last year was the first year it had bloomed that I had it in my yard. I brought it in from the nursery. And it's probably about 12 to 15 feet tall.
Okay. The possibility is that it did get hit by frost, and that would have knocked those flower blossoms out. Do you do any trimming on the tree? Or have you done?
Pardon me?
Have you done any trimming or pruning on the tree?
No, I haven't done.
I would suspect that it's something environmental like frost that caused that. Let the tree grow out, give it maybe a little bit of a fertilization this spring, and then wait for next year, and hopefully we don't get a hard frost and it will flower out for you. But that cherry should bloom very freely if it's that big and it has not been pruned.
Do you give it a special fertilizer that promotes the flowering?
As long as it's not weed and feed, if you've got lawn fertilizer, you can just put a couple of handfuls around the base of the tree, some small handfuls. You don't want to overdo it, but lawn fertilizer will do wonderfully.
Okay, because I did fertilize this spring with some tree fertilizer.
Okay, you probably don't need to do it again then. About all you can do at this point is just be patient and hope for a better year next year.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You are welcome.
All right. Thanks, Daryl. And we got a minute now. We can check in with Donald in Riverton. Donald, go ahead with your question. Going to be talking lawns.
Yes, I've got two questions on the lawn. Number one, I have where they put in the sprinkler system. It's ground is settled, and so now when I run over with the lawnmower, it doesn't cut in those areas. And I was wondering if I could just... from time to time, add a little bit of dirt until we get it up to level, or should I just dig it out and start all over?
If the problem is not too severe, you can use a little bit of sand, or if you have a garden area that you could take some bucketfuls of soil, put down about a quarter of an inch to maybe a third. You don't want to cover the crowns of the grass, and so you're going to put just that small amount, let the grass grow up through it. When it's grown up through 2 or 3 weeks later, do it again, and you can slowly over the summer raise the level of those areas with that technique.
Okay, I could just get some bagged soil at the store.
You certainly could.
Okay, my other question is regarding grub worms. I used to have my lawn care done by Scotts, but I can't afford them anymore, and so I've fertilized myself now. But when's the best time to spray for grub worms?
About now, with the warmer weather coming on, you will want to put on a preventative if you have had problems in the past. There will be 2 or 3 different brands available at the local garden centers that you can use. Most of them will contain a product called Merit. There's a few others you might find that are pretty good products too, but get that on now. If you do use the Mara and you've had severe problems, you'll probably want to reapply that in mid-July to get you through the year.
Okay, can I get that at the box stores like Lowe's or Home Depot?
The box stores will most likely have Scott's GrubX, and the active ingredient in that, if you use it, get it down soon, because it can take several days to a few weeks to work its way into the soil, and you don't want to get those grubs going before the preventative chemical gets down there. The Scott's GrubX is actually a reduced risk product that the EPA considers a little bit safer than others. The Merit will get down there a little bit more quickly, and so if you go to Lowe's or Home Depot and use the Scott's GrubX, that's fine, but just get it down today.
All right, thank you.
You are welcome.
Bye.
All right, let's take this time right now to dive into some local and regional news with Dan Jessup in the KSL News Center. Back with more of the KSL Greenhouse and your calls from Leland, Kent, Bryce, Tracy, Don, Chris, and Ross, all waiting in the wings on KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM, Utah's news, traffic, and weather station.
Lace up your shoes and join KSL News Radio for the Great Strides Walk, Saturday, May 18th at Energy Solutions Arena. Cystic fibrosis is a life-threatening genetic disease that affects the lungs and digestive system. Your support can help people with CF to live longer, healthier lives. Make a team with your family and friends today. Then join us on the 18th at Energy Solutions Arena. For more information, visit kslnewsradio.com. It's the Great Strides Walk with KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
The thought of my sons growing up without me inspired me to quit smoking.
I talked to my doctors and then I threw away all my cigarettes, ashtrays, and lighters.
I started exercising instead of smoking.
Getting support from friends online kept me on track.
Staying away from alcohol when I was first quitting was key.
Instead of smoking after I ate, I'd get up and take a walk.
I missed having a cigarette in my hand, so I'd hold a pen or a straw, anything.
Until I knew I wouldn't give in to temptation, I spent more time with my friends who didn't smoke.
I went to places that were smoke-free.
I didn't stay quit the very first time I tried.
I kept on trying, and I learned something each time.
Do whatever it takes.
No matter how many times it takes.
I quit.
I quit.
I quit.
We did it, so can you.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and CDC.
It's 9:30 in the KSL 24-hour newsroom. Good morning, I'm Dan Jessup, KSL's top local story this hour. The Israeli government reports they've conducted an airstrike in Syria. However, the White House is not commenting.
U.S. government officials are keeping their silence about any military attacks by Israel into war-torn Syria. President Obama has, however, always insisted Israel has the right to protect itself. The danger is that Israeli military action might be the spark to ignite a wider conflict.
That's ABC's White House correspondent Ann Compton as she travels with President Obama in Costa Rica. A soccer referee who suffered critical head injuries from an attack by a 17-year-old player continues to fight for his life this morning. The teen player accused of attacking him remains in juvenile detention. After becoming upset over a call, the goalie shoved an opposing player, resulting in referee Ricardo Portillo issuing a yellow flag. The player then attacked and punched Portillo in the head, causing grave injuries. His oldest daughter, Joanna, expresses the family's love and concern for Portillo.
He was always taking care of us. He was always there for us. It wasn't just my dad, it was our friend.
Joanna says the family wants to see justice served for the attacker. They would like to talk to their dad at least one more time. A bank robbery in the Mill Creek area. Unified Police responded to a call at the U.S. Bank location at 8th East and 4500 South. The suspect began yelling at the clerk demanding money. He fled in a red Chevy Blazer with an undisclosed amount of cash. The suspect is described as a white male in his 40s, 5'10", medium build. If you know anything about it, please call Unified Police. Coming up on KSL News Radio, a nice May morning. We'll check your KSL weekend forecast next. KSL News Time, 9:32.
Breaking news, traffic, and weather. Every 30 minutes, all morning, all day, and all night. constant updates on KSL News Radio. Visit KSLNewsRadio.com to win great prizes like Green Tea HP prize packs or win a free extended subscription from Hiring Thing. While you're there, nominate your mom to win our Mother's Day grand prize valued at over $1,400. Plus, visit KSLNewsRadio.com to find out about upcoming KSL events, including Great Strides, a walk to benefit the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation, May 18th at Energy Solutions Arena. Find it all now at KSLNewsRadio.com. KSL News Radio is celebrating Mother's Day with prizes any mom would love. Visit KSLNewsRadio.com today to win our KSL Mother's Day grand prize, including an overnight stay with brunch at the Grand America Hotel, a $200 shopping spree from RC Willie, a one-year supply of product from Green Tea HP, and a $200 gift card for carpet cleaning, courtesy of Zero Res. That's $1,400 worth of prizes. Enter today. Go to KSLNewsRadio.com and tell us about the special mom in your life. That's KSLNewsRadio.com.
You know, there's nothing like working for a company that appreciates your hard work and where you know you have the opportunity to get promotions and move up within that company.
Hi, this is Jay and Amy from The Browsers, and we toured a company called Teleperformance. They are looking for people right now who maybe want to change their career or who are starting their first career.
Yeah, you may be fresh out of high school, but you have some customer service experience or some tech experience. You can turn that into a career right now at Teleperformance.
They're looking for so many different things: human resources, IT, administration, recruiting. All of these are available at Teleperformance.
Well, and don't forget, they have free training, and they also have great work-at-home opportunities if you're a stay-at-home mom.
They have three locations right here in Utah: Salt Lake, Linden, and Ogden.
And they have over 250 sites across the world, which gives you the opportunity to move up and outward if you like.
Go online and apply right now at teleperformance.com.
That's teleperformance.com.
Information in your car.
This type of thing just makes me nuts.
And all night long.
This is really hard-hitting stuff, Ethan. You ready for this?
KSL News Radio.
Traffic and weather together brought to you by the Larry H. Miller Dealerships. Just nice traffic on the freeways, 215, the I-80, and the I-15 all the way from really Spanish Fork up to North Ogden into Box Elder County. We're in good shape east to west as well. If you see any traffic problems, let us know. 801-575-6397. Nice day weather-wise. Chance of an afternoon shower moving in, though, and a thunder bumper with it. 72 the high, 49 the low. Midnight Madness sale at Southtown Auto Mall. 36 nonstop hours of the best car deals in Utah. Going on through today, Southtown Auto Mall, 106 southeast of I-15. In Salt Lake, 56 at 9:35. You get the top stories every 30 minutes. Breaking news the second it happens. I'm Dan Jessup, KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM at 1160 AM, Utah's news, traffic, and weather station.
Call the KSL Greenhouse with your questions. We're at KSL Talk. That's 575-8255. And it's only on KSL News Radio.
Welcome back into the KSL Greenhouse. Tim Hughes on vacation, so to speak. He's actually got an event in Japan. He's been traveling a lot lately, so we're going to do the best we can filling in for him. And we've got Leland in American Fork waiting in the wings to ask his questions. As a matter of fact, he's going to be talking about trees as well. And let's go there. Leland, good morning. Welcome into the KSL Greenhouse.
Good morning. I have five redbud trees in a flower bed area surrounding the back of my house. Periwinkle grows up from the bottom in the flower bed area. When we moved in 3 years ago, the periwinkle was up around the trees. I've cleared it all out, thinned it out. But last year, one of the redbuds appeared stressed. This spring, it's totally dead. Now, what I've noticed also is the other four red buds are starting to look stressed this year, just like the other one did last year. I assume it's verticillium wilt.
That could be. It could be a lot of different things. A lot of times, if you have a tree go down and then they successively are going down in a line, I can't really say yes, it's verticillium, or no, because there could be some environmental factors that, you know, we can't really get over the air, but there could be other things going on. So you said that in the first redbud, you started seeing symptoms last year, and then this year it was just completely dead.
Right.
How long have the trees been in?
The house is probably 13 years old.
So they've got a good 10 to 13 years on them. So they're, what, probably 20, 25 feet tall?
Probably they're about the height of the house, probably 20 feet tall, yeah.
Okay. The redbuds I have seen are somewhat susceptible to various root diseases, to where the fungus will get into the root. They can't, the roots can't absorb all the nutrients and water they need, and it basically slowly chokes the tree off. And that is a strong possibility. What I'd like you to do, if it's all right, being down in Utah County, is to bring in or email some samples to me at the Utah County Extension office, and we'll take a look and see if we can see something visually going on. You know, if it is verticillium, there's not much you can do about it besides just making sure that the trees are healthy, they're deep watered every couple of weeks, and maybe a little bit of fertilizer to see if you can stave off anything like that. But it's just a patience thing, and there's not really any magic chemical you can put down to keep verticillium or phytophthora, if it is that, out of the roots of the tree.
Okay, now when I cut the other tree back, there were dark rings inside of the wood.
That's a giveaway for the vascular wilt diseases, and which verticillium is one of them.
And that's why I was assuming that's what
yeah.
it was.
Yeah, it sounds like it was. And like I said, if you've got another one coming down with symptoms, and if you can cut into there and find that those dark rings in the conductive tissue like you did, you might consider taking that tree out to see if you can stop the spread to the other ones. There is a possibility that those trees, if they're close together, have root grafted and the disease is spreading from one tree to another through the roots.
Now, I've looked up ornamental trees and small trees, and I can't find one that's not susceptible to verticillium wilt.
The verticillium is going to be in the soil, and a lot of times the trees will get it because of health issues. They visually look healthy, but they're stressed somehow, and just like us, you know, the flu germs and cold germs are around all the time, but we don't always get them, and a lot of times it's when our immune systems are down. That can hold true for trees, and those soil microorganisms are in the soil, and they're opportunistic, and if you have an off year, the tree had an off year, it's more susceptible, and then it goes down.
Mm-hmm. So I could probably plant anything back there.
I would put something not extremely susceptible to verticillium or phytophthora, and so a little bit more rugged tree, maybe a crab apple. There are many crab apples out there that don't drop a lot of the dirty fruit, and local garden centers, Linden Nursery or Cascade Shadows could get you helped out with that, or even Cook's down there. But a little bit more rugged tree that's going to be a little bit more tolerant of various soil conditions and things, and those garden centers could help you out with that.
Okay. Appreciate that.
You're welcome. Good luck.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, Leland, let's head to Ross now and check in with him. He's in Layton, going to be talking about a bonsai. Go ahead with your question, Ross. Would be a good time to remind people to turn down your radio and listen to the phone as we take your questions. There is a little bit of a delay. So now that we've given him time to run to the radio, turn it down and listen to his phone, let's check in with Ross. Ross, good morning.
Greetings. I have two questions. First, we have a bonsai tree. We've had it for 8 or 9 years. It's beautiful. It's 2.5, 3 feet tall. And it has about 15 balls that have been elaborately prepared when we bought the tree years ago. But every year, the last several years, it's been pruned or beautified by a neighbor who has a beautician's license. And the last few years, it's grown increasingly pale green and even kind of a deadly light brown on 9 or 10 of the 15 balls. And I'm concerned about the health of the tree. Is there anything that can be done to save it?
Is the tree outside or inside?
Well, it's outside by on our front porch, and it faces, we have a southern exposure, and it gets sun, of course, every day during the summer.
I imagine that the tree is a juniper that's being trimmed on, or fits or type.
I don't know which species it is, but it's a bonsai that's been bent over, and it kind of hangs low. As I said, it's only 4 or 5 feet tall, but it has, I guess, 9 or 10 branches that have been carefully bent, so the tree is kind of growing, you might say, sideways or upside down.
The junipers are the most common trees that those topiaries are made out of.
Okay.
And if the juniper is going light green, a lot of times that's an indication of, it could be an indication of a couple things. One of them is too much water, to where if it's just barely too much, the juniper, the shrub will stay alive, but it will slowly go yellow and it'll work its way through the plant. And what happens is that overwatering will either, one, rot the roots off, or it will allow, you know, in the previous call we were talking about these vascular wilt diseases, and it allows those to get into the roots, and then it will slowly take the plant down. And I'm, like I said, I imagine it's a juniper. And so if you could try maybe cutting the water off and only deep watering it every 3 or 4 weeks.
Okay.
And then maybe put a little fertilizer down to see if you can stimulate some growth, and monitor that soil really well and see if slowing the water down will help that green back up. And what you're going to want to watch is the newest growth, because a lot of times the old growth will stay yellow.
Okay, but on those balls, it appears like there's very little new growth. And then, of course, what new growth may have been what was trimmed every year. And I'm concerned about maybe over-trimming that might interfere.
Over-trimming could have caused this.
Over-synthesis.
Yeah, the over-trimming could have caused this also. And once you've trimmed in to deadwood or trimmed to the point that it's not generating new growth, a lot of times those individual balls will die and there's not much you can do about it.
Okay. Okay, we'll watch both the water and the trimming and hope for the best also. I heard a couple of years ago that it's good to put iron into the soil around evergreens. So I have put I got a bag of iron, and two or three times every year I put a handful of that fertilizer around it. Would that help, or would that be of no effort in this particular crisis?
It may. Junipers, because they're native to arid climates, are very adapted to alkaline soil like we have. And
okay.
So I don't know that it would help a lot, but you're definitely not hurting anything.
Okay, well, that sounds good. Yeah, the second question we have two garden areas where every year we buy some, we go to a floral or a place where they sell wood chips that are dyed red, and we put them on the soil around on the flowers, and that seems to enhance the attractiveness of the multicolored flowers. But I'm a little bit concerned that maybe the wood chips are interfering with the flow of water from our sprinkling system to get down to the plants. Would these wood chips intercept the water flow and let a lot of it evaporate during the day instead of letting the water go directly to the soil if we don't have the wood chips?
If the bed was watered very lightly daily, yes, it would prevent water penetration. But if you're watering deeply and less often, the water will penetrate right through that bark. And actually, it would hold the water in the soil, which is a good thing. But if you're overwatering, it'll hold too much there. And so the best thing you can do is pull that bark away in a few spots and check the soil and see if it's dry or wet, and then just water accordingly.
Hmm. I think that'll be an interesting experiment. We'll give it a try.
Very good.
Very good. Okay, well, thank you for your advice.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Have a good day.
Have a wonderful day.
All right, Ton, I think we have time to sneak Tracy in here before the break. Tracy, calling from Riverton. Go ahead with your question.
Actually, I'm in Syracuse, but I have a question about my photinias. I had one that I planted a few years ago. It was like a gallon size. It's huge and beautiful, like 10, 12 feet tall. At least that wide. I've had robins nesting in it for the last 5 or 6 years. Then I planted a smaller one in the backyard. And back in the fall, my little boys were kind enough to spray some weed killer on the leaves on the photini in the backyard. And I went out and tried to wipe it off, and I thought it'd probably be okay. But we noticed a couple weeks ago that it's pretty much dead. And I assumed it was the weed killer, and maybe they had sprayed more than I realized. But the one in the front yard that I've had for years that's been so beautiful and big, it is the same thing, but it's strange. It's from the top down. It's not from the bottom up. I have one little circle of green on the bottom, and the rest of it is dry and red. The robins came, they didn't lay their eggs because they're completely exposed. So then I'm thinking, did they spray the bush out front too? But I noticed a neighbor has a smaller one, and hers is also losing the leaves in the middle. So I'm thinking something else must be going on.
There probably is. The weed killer did take out the one in your backyard. I'm almost sure of that one. The ones in the front yard, if you're noticing the neighbors is doing the same things as yours, it's usually not a living disease, but something environmental. Last winter was extremely cold. You know, we didn't really dip on the Wasatch Front into, you know, minus 5, minus 10, but we were cold for so long that those photinias definitely could have been impacted. You know, those are native to much warmer areas, and this is about the northern limit of where they'll grow. And I noticed that healthy plants oftentimes take damage every 5 to 10 years because of our climate. And, you know, if we were in a Moab or St. George climate, they wouldn't do that. And so trim it back, and hopefully it'll grow aggressively enough that within a year or two, you won't notice it had any damage.
Okay, so the one in the front, like I said, I bet you that only the bottom, like, maybe foot.
Yeah, and it sounds like cold damage from the winter.
And I know the snow was hard on it because it still holds, you know how it holds the leaves.
Yeah.
And it was, like, laying on the ground, and I was out there trying to shake it off and just to keep it from breaking. So I trim it all the way down to where I see green. Is that what I do?
On the dead branches, check them first and make sure that they're not green underneath.
Okay.
Because many times the leaves will be damaged, but you still have living stems or branches.
Yes.
And so scratch it with your fingernail or a knife and scratch some of the bark off in a few spots. And if it's nice and light green underneath, then there's a good chance that they'll re-leaf, and I would leave those alone for a month and see what they do.
I've got some branches that are like that. My grandpa, I grew up back east, he calls it wick, and I checked. And there was some wick, the green inside, but there's others that they're dead. And the leaves
where they're dead, prune them out toward the base of the shrub.
Okay, and I'd never trimmed it before. It's always just been this beautiful, I've taken for granted plant. And now, like, what happened? All right, so the one in the back with the weed killer, just dig it up.
Yeah, put another one in.
Okay.
And that's just for these broadleaf evergreens. Every 5 to 10 years, it's par for the course for them to get some damage.
I wasn't sure how long they could make it. Thank you.
Good luck.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, Tom, let's quickly go to break here, and we'll have a couple of minutes on the other side to take more phone calls at 575-8255. KSL Greenhouse on KSL News Radio.
Seven years ago, I had a knee replacement at another hospital. I felt like it took a long time to recover, and I wasn't as stable as I wanted to be. So when it came time for me to get a knee replacement a year ago, I decided to listen to my friends and try Jordan Valley Medical Center. I felt very good about the surgery, and it was very easy, very simple for me. It made my balance better, and my recovery was much quicker. And my knee is more stable. I was back to work in 6 weeks. I was chipping and putting in 3 months and full out golfing in 4. And I felt really good. At 6 months, I was 100%. It was an amazing surgery. I love Jordan Valley Medical Center.
Jordan Valley Medical Center, my orthopedic care, my healthy future. For more information or to schedule an appointment with one of our orthopedic experts, call 866-431-WELL. That's 866-431-WELL. Or go to myorthohealth.com. That's myorthohealth.com.
We used to think all lung cancer was the same.
Now we know that each tumor may have a different genetic makeup.
Several different molecular types of lung cancer have been identified.
By performing molecular testing on a lung cancer tumor,
doctors can try to determine what's causing the cancer to grow.
It's a different way of looking at lung cancer.
Because lung cancer can affect anyone.
The young or old.
Smokers or non-smokers.
You or me.
Knowing the molecular profile of my tumor helped determine my treatment options.
Anyone can get lung cancer. And not all lung cancers are the same. Talk to your doctor to see if molecular testing is appropriate for you. Visit lungcancerprofiles.com to learn more. That's lungcancerprofiles.com. A public service of 6 leading lung cancer advocacy groups.
Come on, man. I know you have those pills for ADD or whatever.
Sorry, man.
Hey, please, just a couple. Help me out here.
Some things you just shouldn't share.
Look, you know I have that test tomorrow.
Like prescription drugs.
Not a good idea, dude.
Come on, your mom never taught you to share? Two pills.
Too dangerous.
Oh, please, buddy, pal, I gotta stay awake. I don't pass that test tomorrow.
Okay, tell you what I'll do.
Oh, you're the best, man.
I will lend you my lucky underwear.
What?
Fruit of Legume, special edition.
Seriously?
They're lucky, they're really lucky, man. Try them.
Yes, some things you just don't want to share.
When was the last time you washed these?
You don't wash lucky underwear.
Learn more about the dangers of sharing prescription drugs and how to store and dispose of them safely at useonlyasdirected.org.
What's this?
It's my lucky streak.
My mom and dad both have health issues. So, yeah, when my doctor recommended preventive care for me, I knew he was right. So I left his office and called Regions. With the new healthcare laws, you want to understand what's covered right now and what's not, and what's going to change. They made it plain as day. I mean, really, I just want to do the right things for my health. I'm glad my health plan supports me.
Regions, your health connected. Regions Blue Cross Blue Shield of Utah is an independent licensee of the BCBSA.
It takes 12 years to create a graduate. It takes about the same time to create a dropout. The difference between a child becoming one or the other could be you. Studies prove that reading to a child regularly dramatically improves reading skills. And kids who read well by third grade are four times as likely to graduate. So United Way is calling for 1 million volunteers over the next 3 years. We're asking you to step up, make a pledge, tutor a child who needs help, mentor a kid who needs someone on their side, volunteer to read to children, make a difference. Because when a child advances, we all advance. Entire communities improve. The path to success or failure starts long before graduation day. And the difference between a graduate and a dropout could be you. Be a reader, tutor, or mentor. Give. Advocate. Volunteer. Live United. Take the pledge. Go to liveunited.org now. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Products today, 262-5142. It's good stuff.
Get help with annuals, container planting, and the greenest grass on the block. The KSL Greenhouse on KSL News Radio.
Welcome back into the KSL Greenhouse. As we take more of your phone calls, 575-8255. Where did you want to go, Tom?
Let's go ahead and go to grass growing up through junipers.
Okay, let's take Chris in Layton. Chris, go ahead with your question.
Yes, I just have some junipers that kind of grow along the ground and have grass that grows up through them. We pull them out every year. It's a lot of work. I was wondering if there's something I can do to help me out there.
Two things. If you don't want to try to pull the grass out, is it Kentucky bluegrass your lawn grass is growing up through, or weedy grass?
It's actually kind of a wider grass. I don't know.
That might be good news, just because the sprays out there are a lot more effective against the weedy grasses than Kentucky bluegrass. You're going to use either post or over the top. And those are grass killers that you can put over many other plants that will only selectively take out grass.
Okay.
And then on the edge of those junipers, if you have a problem with grass creeping in, you can either dig out or kill basically a dead zone between the junipers and the border to try to keep grass out that way too.
Okay, I see. Perfect.
So yeah, poster or over the top.
Okay, I'll write it down. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, Chris, let's see if we can squeeze Don in here real quick in about the minute we have left. Don, quickly, go ahead with your question.
I have a flowering pear in the backyard, and last 2 years, I've experienced a lot of die-off. The leaves start curling and dying off early, and this year when it came time to sprout out, I thought it was completely dead, and I was going to have a tree guy cut it down and take it out, but now it's all bloomed out again. There's still a lot of, there's a few places where there's some branches at the top that are dead. And anyway, what can I do to help it?
Where it's completely dead, prune those branches out. Deep water it every couple of weeks. Maybe give it just a bit of fertilizer to stimulate some growth. If it leaves out healthy and then fades toward the middle or the end of the summer, you may have a root disease in there, which there's nothing you can do about. And so a little bit of fertilizer, deep water every 2 or 3 weeks, and then just monitor it is about all you can do.
Okay.
Okay?
Thanks.
All right. Good luck. Thanks, Don. Coming up, we'll have the third and final hour of the KSL Greenhouse for this week on KSL News Radio.
Hey there, it's me, John. I'm just a regular dad, but I'm a big deal at my house, mostly because I'm there. That's half of being a great dad, showing up. The other part is tricky. Let's use a simple test to see if you can figure out that other part, shall we? What is this sound?
Thanks, Dad.
I know, it's only two words. Could be the sound of gratitude. That's the obvious guess, but listen carefully.
Thanks, Dad.
Those two words are really saying respect. Now that's a hard thing to teach. Respect yourself, your parents, your teachers, your fellow human beings. Wow! Can a kid learn all that just by spending more time with his father? Well, it's a start.
This message brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
This message is brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in partnership with FM 100.3, a Bonneville station, together making a difference in Salt Lake City.
I thought I was too old.
I thought I was too young.
I didn't think I had what it takes.
How would I find the time?
I figured I'd get around to it someday.
Besides, it's probably too expensive.
Too difficult.
Too complicated.
Then one day I sat down at the piano.
Drums.
The keyboard.
Guitar.
Bass.
Ukulele.
I went into a music store and tried some percussion.
Tried a clarinet.
A sax.
And I learned a few simple notes.
Simple chords.
Simple rhythms.
Before I knew it,
I could actually play a song.
A pretty simple one, but I did it. Me. I couldn't believe it.
Why make excuses when you can make music?
Why wait?
Just play.
This message brought to you by the NAMM Foundation.
Coming to the Pioneer Theater Company, Utah's premier professional theater, the epic musical masterpiece, Les Miserables. Pioneer Theater Company's production, the first since its record-breaking sold-out premiere in 2007, has already extended 2 extra weeks. Now running from May 3rd to June 1st. Hurry while good seats are still available. Call 801-581-6961 or visit pioneertheater.org. Les Mis is sponsored by Zions Bank and Salt Lake County's Zoo Arts and Parks Program. And don't forget to reserve next season's ticket package, including the musical mystery Something's Afoot, the holiday movie turned musical Elf, and the classic